Hello, my beautiful Broadway friends. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and we are back for the season 3 premiere of the Broadway cast. What's that? You haven't caught up on seasons 1 and 2 of the Broadway cast? Well, you better do that right now. You can go to YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and catch up on incredible, insightful, and hilarious conversations with the likes of Jeremy Jordan, Lena Hall, Billy Porter, Lilias White, Jason Robert Brown, Christy Altomare, Trista Dolleson, Karen Ziemba, Joel Grey, just to name a very few. Now that we're up to speed on seasons 1 and 2, it's time to get the show underway for season 3 as we welcome the incredible stars from Disney's smash hit in its 4th year, Aladdin. We're sitting down with Telly Leung, Ariel Jacobs, and Major Attaway. Before we get on with the show, we have a new bit. It's Ben's Broadway Obsessions. Each week, we're going to take you through 5 things that Ben is obsessing about this week on Broadway. As you know, spring has sprung here on Broadway, and there's a whole flock of new shows flying into theaters as we speak. Let's count down the 5 things I'm most excited about this season. Number 5, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. If you're a geek, and if you're watching this, you are. You know you're crazy excited to see Harry Potter. Now, if we could just get tickets. Accio tickets! Number 4, Broadway's favorite wife-beating, bigoted, misogynistic, amoral bully balladeer is back on the boards. Nope, it's not Trump the Musical. It's the return of Rodgers and Hammerstein's classic musical, Carousel, starring Jesse Mueller, Joshua Henry, and opera star Renee Fleming. Number 3. Escape to Margaritaville. That's right, a Jimmy Buffett jukebox musical featuring hits like Cheeseburger in Paradise and Wasting Away in Margaritaville. It features more cheeseburgers and margaritas than Guy Fieri's Times Square food dumpster. Unless, of course, he's sponsoring us, in which case, yum. Number 2. Disney's Frozen is finally on the Broadway stage. Broadway goddess Casey Levy stars as Elsa, and word on the street is that she's belting her face off. How does she sing with no face? Well, you'll have to get a ticket to find out. Let it go, girl. Just let it go. And that brings us to my number 1 show that I am most excited to see this spring. It's Summer, the Donna Summer musical. Toot toot, ah, beep beep. Why am I so excited? Because... gay. Monster. And now, without further ado, let's kick off season 3 with the cast of Aladdin.
Give my regards to Broadway.
A lullaby of Broadway.
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinkies, Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Here we are, the premiere of season 3 of the Broadway cast. It feels like just yesterday we were just getting things off the ground, and now we're flying high, premiering season 3. You know, it almost feels like we're on a magic carpet ride. Wah, wah. That's right, we're kicking off season 3 in grand Disney magic fashion with Disney's enormous smash hit musical, Aladdin. Aladdin is celebrating its 4th anniversary on Broadway. So go out, grab a lamp, and get to rubbin', and let's meet our incredibly talented panel of stars. I'll begin to my immediate left. This is exciting for us because you were here for our season 2 premiere.
That's right.
When we were on a Disney ride as well. Our first guest has starred on Broadway in Flower Drum Song, opposite Lea Salonga, Pacific Overtures, Rent, Godspell. He played Bach in Wicked, starred as Warbler Wes on Glee, and of course is the title character of Aladdin in Aladdin. Telly Leung is back with us. Yay!
Thanks. I'm so thrilled to be back.
I'm thrilled to have you. And it's really fun for me because I got to see the show last night. So I feel like I'm in a particularly fangirly space today. So I feel very bubbly and excited. As the show is wonderful and you're sensational, Telly. I'm a fan of yours from back. As I was walking out past all the fantastic merchandise, and the teacups are especially cute, by the way, I noticed that a couple albums of yours were on sale.
Yeah.
You have 2 albums out. Talk to me. And I know you've done a lot of cast albums, cast recordings.
Yes, of course.
But tell me what's different about and what's exciting about being a solo artist and making your own albums.
Well, you know, in between the Broadway shows that I'm lucky enough to get to do when I'm not working, I do a lot of cabaret work as well.
Sure.
And I have a phenomenal trio of musicians that I work with all the time. Gary Adler, who was one of the co-writers on Altar Boys, amazing jazz bassist Mary McSweeney, Michael Kreuter, who is Cheetah Rivera's musical director and also has Yellow Sound Label. That's my trio. He plays drums for me.
And that's legit.
It's the Avenue Q band. I actually took the Avenue Q band and I took them on gigs at cabaret clubs and jazz clubs all over the country. After a while, we just had enough material, and Michael Kreuter, who has a label, Yellow Sound Label, said, well, we should really make an album. And I said, what? Make an album? Is anybody going to buy an album from me? And so we made one. We were really proud of it. It's like our child. It's like our baby, our musical baby. And then it was so popular, we made a second one. So the first album is called I'll Cover You.
That's right.
And it's an album of cover songs where we've kind of taken all songs that you know and love, songs by Simon and Garfunkel or Jonathan Larson or Stevie Wonder, and we kind of do a big 180 on them.
Yeah.
And the second album is called Songs for You, and it's an album where each track of the song is actually a dedication to somebody in my life, either personal or professional, that has really gotten me to where I am. You know, so there's a song on there, Being Alive, I sing from Company's, dedicated to my dear friend and mentor, Billy Porter.
Beautiful.
You know, and I have a song on there that's dedicated to Stephen Schwartz, who we've both worked with closely as well. And so it's one song that's in there for my parents, you know, so it's a personal kind of love letter and dedication album.
Well, I've listened to both albums, and I have to tell you what really got me was the I am what I am who have nothing, which is the mashup of I have nothing, Whitney Houston, with I am what I am. And my gayometer just went creaking to the side. You have to listen to it. Go out and get
very,
the album.
That was very Glee inspired. I'd gone to one of those crazy fan conventions for Glee, and I was surrounded in Europe, actually. It was in London, and I was surrounded by all of these
young teens,
right? And my dear friend George Takei, who had done Star Trek for many years, who I had done Allegiance with, he said, you know, well, Telly, when you go to these fan conventions, you might meet some very strange people. And I said, well, okay. So he warned me about, but then I met really Glee fans. There were all these kids, and they were usually kids who felt outside of the box, and they felt like they didn't belong, and they felt like they belonged in that chorus room, you know, and they felt like they could find camaraderie through music. And so I was really inspired meeting all of those kids in this fan convention in London. And I said, you know, I'm going to mash up a couple of tunes and dedicate it to them. So,
and that was the dedication, was for them.
It was for them.
That's perfect. You have to listen to it. It's hilariously magical. You're like, where's this going? And then it goes exactly where you want it to. Next up, seated next to Telly, this young lady has starred on Broadway and in The Heights. She played Nessa Rose in Wicked. Before coming to Great Big Broadway to play Princess Jasmine, she starred in the Sydney, Australia production. This is Ariel Jacobs.
Yay!
Aladdin runs in the family, obviously. This is something that I wonder if you're sick of talking about at this stage of the game.
No, actually, it's really cool. My brother is doing, well, he was the original Aladdin, of course. He's doing the national tour right now. He's doing it in LA at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think it's really awesome. We're both in the show. We were doing the show on opposite sides of the world when I was in Australia and he was here. And now we're doing it on opposite sides of the country at the same time.
What are the conversations that you guys have about the show together?
We don't really talk much about the show anymore.
But in the beginning, were you like, well, here's some insight I think you should do and vice versa? Or
not so much. No, we had completely different experiences. And I had, you know, a whole 6 weeks of rehearsal to set the show in Sydney with the whole creative team and with that cast. So it was really
a very specific experience.
Yeah, it really was its own project, its own process.
And what is it like playing in Sydney?
Oh, I love Australia. Telly just got back from Australia.
You were on vacation.
I just took a 2-week vacation. It was my first time in Australia. And I said, oh my gosh.
It's a dream.
I was actually imagining Ariel, like in doing a show here. I was like, how do I get to do a show here? What can I do here?
I didn't want to leave. It's a magical place.
Yeah.
The audiences and the people there are just incredible. They're the warmest, most present, sincere people I've ever met anywhere. Yeah.
And do they go fan crazy in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, they loved the show.
Yeah.
The stage door is a different experience. I don't think that maybe they don't know that they can go to the stage door. There wasn't that many people there every day. So that was a bit of a different culture thing.
It's kind of a particularly New York phenomenon, I feel like, the fanning out of the stage door that's become so huge.
Although
now,
I will say, in Japan, when you do a show in Japan, the stage door is is the entire audience waits for you at the stage door, which is the opposite experience.
Wow. How do you even handle that? I mean,
you just do. You just go, oh, we're going to be here
for about three and a half hours.
For another hour,
And the gifts.
But it's always the gifts. But it's so appreciative in
Japan. They give you gifts.
Have you done stuff in Japan as well?
I did in the Heights in Tokyo.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They bring you all kinds of crazy things.
Gift bags with like socks and face lotions and
the craziest stuff. They want your feet warm and your skin smooth in Japan. How beautiful. Yeah. Well, rounding out our panel today, he's making his Broadway debut, stopping the show in its entirety as Genie in Aladdin. This is Major Attaway. Hey. Attaboy, Attaway. How many times have you heard that one?
I've lost count.
I'm sure. making your Broadway debut, can you just take me through the moment when you got the phone call that you would be making your Broadway debut in Aladdin? You started out as a standby, correct?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. And I actually, I sent a tape to get an audition. And I was flown up, I flew up here to do the auditions. And after a full, very rigorous day, the next day I got a phone call. And they said, it's not often we see a newcomer come in and that we're pleased with some of the things we've seen. So moving forward, we'd need you to be able to fit through the hole. That's how casual it was.
We need you to fit through the hole.
The hole that's in the stage, you know, because the genie comes out. But that was
I didn't know if
that
was a metaphor.
Was that their way of saying you got the job?
Exactly.
Kind of.
That's my point.
Wow. Yeah,
it was, so moving forward, we would need to see you go through the hole and get ready to come. And I said, oh, the hole. They're like, yeah, if you want to be the standby for the genie. I said, oh, okay.
Oh. You show me the hole, I'll fit through it.
That's right, let's do it.
I'll dig the hole, whatever you need. it's also striking. Your performance was mind-boggling, fantastic.
Thank you very much.
So notably different than your predecessors in so many wonderful ways. But it's so physical. Can you tell me a little bit about how one even prepares for that? Because I was watching that going, my back would have divorced me.
Yeah.
My breath support would have moved to Guam. I don't know.
Well, growing up, I always wanted to play sports and do theater. I wanted to play football and be an actor. I found that I get to do both now. I get to treat myself like an athlete. I think all of us do in this show. And I get a lot of sleep and I drink a lot of Pedialyte.
Mm. Great. Mm-hmm. Keep those electrolytes up.
I have to say, for all of our listeners out there, too, go and YouTube this awesome thing that ESPN did where they actually hooked Major up to, like, a heart rate monitor.
Did they really?
Wait, seriously?
Thank you, Tilla. Mm-hmm. They did, and they measured the amount of steps and all of the output that happens during Friend Like Me, and that's only Friend Like Me, and only for one performance. So if you multiply that by eight...
Where was it hidden? Where did you wear this thing?
Oh, I wore it underneath everything.
What are your stats? How high does your heart rate go?
Well, I want you to watch the video.
604. I will.
But I will say that they say I take as many steps as, is it 88 basketball courts? I run a basketball court 88 times during the length of just that number.
And it's singing at the same time.
And singing at the top of your lungs and holding that note at the end just beautifully. That's no small feat, my friend. Congratulations on being you. And congratulations to all of you, the fourth anniversary of Aladdin. Not many shows make it to that milestone, let's be honest. I think we've all been our fair share of shows that have kind of flown by night a little bit quicker than 4 years. What does it feel like as an actor to have the gift of the security of being able to know that you're going to have a job tomorrow and that this show is so beloved it will be going on for years to come?
I feel extreme gratitude for the opportunity. You know, I've certainly been in a lot of shows that have opened and closed in like 3 or 4 months. And so to have something like this and to not only go to a long-running show, but also to be in a long-running show where it's such a happy building.
And a happy show.
And a happy show.
Sure.
So you see the audience just beaming with joy.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to at the end of the show.
I agree.
Every night.
The last show I did before joining Aladdin was Les Mis in Texas.
Okay.
And I feel like it would be harder to sustain that energy for years.
Who did you play?
The bishop, yes. And one of the students, so I died every performance, and that's rough.
That's a very different audience reaction at the end of Aladdin to the end of Les Miserables. Both valid, but you'll take, to get the energy from the audience.
And you know, for me, this is my debut. This is the most beautiful experience I've ever had doing theater, and the longest job I've ever been fortunate to to have. So I'm grateful every day, and I pinch myself every time I finish Friend Like Me to make sure it was me that got to do it.
So, yeah. And to make sure you're still breathing.
That's
make
right.
sure,
that's
to
right.
make sure you're still there.
Check the pulse.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like, okay. Aladdin makes so many people happy, and that was so very apparent to me, and I'm once again so lucky to have seen the show last night, and I was really taken with a lot of the responses that happened around me, and I want to share a couple of them with you because I think you should know, and I think as we were talking about Telly earlier, you don't always know the experience that the audience is having. But, you know, anything from families, sitting right in front of me was a family of mom, dad, and two girls in between them. And the exchanging looks back and forth through the entire show after every joke was just, they couldn't believe their luck. Aww. That they were sitting there with their children and having this experience. And I went to the bar. There was a man next to me who was on the phone holding his daughter's hand, and she was swinging her hand, and he was on the phone, I'm assuming with a relative or his wife. And he's like, oh, she is loving it. She is smiling and singing Aww. Along and clapping her hands and having so much fun. And the delirious happiness on the face of this child was just so palpable. And that's what you guys do. And it's not just kids that you're affecting. There was a man seated behind me that on every line that had any sort of importance between the characters was uttering a very guttural, grown man, probably in his mid-50s to 60s, who just couldn't believe the truths being dropped during the Aladdin program.
Oh,
and it was hilarious. When they do the Cave of Wonders and the smoke comes up and you're in the middle of it, this man actually said, what? And through the entire show was just agreeing gutturally with everything you said. So
that's great.
That's the kind of magic that Disney makes. So congratulations
Thanks for sharing that. Because we don't get to hear all of those reactions. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, as actors, we're on stage like, are they with us? Are they coming for the ride with us? So it's good to hear that.
They are with you. And Disney makes that kind of thing happen. Speaking of Disney magic, you guys want to play a game with me? Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's time for a rousing round of Don't Forget the Disney Lyrics.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Major just perched.
Well, is this all Aladdin?
Huh?
No.
No. Okay. Well, that would hardly be a game, would it? You'd be surprised, though.
I'm just going to warn you that I am notorious for not knowing the real lyric, but for making up something that sounds
That'll
like
be
it.
Even better.
I'm just going to say, that's what I'm excited to hear.
I'm notorious for, like, just knowing, like, the vowel of the lyric.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to give it a full Patti LuPone vowel off.
And he will give you a Patti LuPone.
Do you do a Patti LuPone impression?
Oh, gosh.
No time like the present.
Oh, I've done it.
Yeah, do it.
Why not?
We've
come this far, Telly.
Oh gosh, well,
you just had lunch with her.
Oh, I did. Somehow I ran into Patti LuPone.
You were texting Cheetah Rivera on your way in. And you had
actually Patti LuPone was coming off as the headliner at the Atlantis cruise.
Oh, for sure.
And I happened to be in Sydney for my vacation, and we happened to be in the same restaurant,
the two of you
together. Yeah.
And did you do your impression for her?
I did not do
it. It's all about timing, I think, with Patty, huh? Do you want to do it?
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Okay.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide?
Telly Leung is Patti LuPone in war paint.
In war paint, as Aladdin.
As Aladdin. Is Aladdin as Patti LuPone, as Helena Rubinstein in war paint. Okay, I'm going to either speak or sing you part of a Disney song, and when I stop, whoever can finish that lyric out gets the point.
Okay.
Each point is worth a point. Okay. Mommy made me mash my M&Ms.
There it is.
A dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams
you will lose your heartache. Whatever you wish for, you keep.
Hey. Ding, 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 ding.
1 point.
That's it.
1 point for Ariel Jacobs. Okay. The ray he can play, the lings on the string. The trout rock it out, the blackfish she sings, the smelt and the sprat.
Know where it's at, and all that bullfish blow.
Oh!
Two points
for Ariel, gentlemen.
I'm noticing a trend already.
I know.
You're noticing a trend.
I like that you went from perching forward to now you're like,
as a sitting back.
Take it, girl.
Okay. Yeah.
You go.
You are so good.
Take it away.
I'll back you up if you need me. Shoop da doop. Okay. supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
We have a couple of cast members who know all the choreo to that, too.
We do. We have a couple of Mary Poppins
people that are...
And my sister-in-law was in Mary Poppins. She was a dance captain on Broadway. Adam Jacobs' wife, Kelly Jacobs.
Oh, shout out to Kelly Jacobs. You guys are really keeping in the family. This is a showbiz dynasty is what you've got going on.
That's why she's winning.
That's why she's winning. It's the showbiz dynasty. She's trained her whole life for this. I'll be there someday. I can go the distance. I will find my way.
If I can be strong, I know every mile will be worth my while. When I go the distance, I'll be right where I belong.
Yes, Major Attaway. Brilliant. Okay.
On board.
Beautiful. Okay, this one's fun. Madame Gaston, can't you just see it? Madame Gaston, his little wife. Ugh, no, sir, not me. I guarantee it.
There must be more than this provincial life.
And sometime going to make
Velma my wife.
Yes, there we go. There's characters there in my brain.
Who is the girl I see?
Staring straight back at me. When will my reflection show who I am inside?
Oh, we found a really nice harmonic pocket there. This is you work together, don't you? Okay. Now, I'm going to throw you for a real loop, and I'm really excited about this one. I laugh to myself at home. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery
or rewrite history. DuckTales. Ooh.
Every day they're out there making DuckTales. Ooh.
Oh, that's great.
DuckTales.
I used to get that mixed up with
Darkwing. I don't even know that song.
Oh, it's a cartoon.
Absolutely.
It came on at like 3:30 every afternoon.
We'll tell you about it. This is for all the millennials out there who have not had the gift of the Disney afternoon.
Yep.
You would get home from elementary school and turn on the TV. There was only like 7 channels you could choose from, if you can imagine such a time.
That's right.
And you would watch the Disney afternoon, which consisted of DuckTales.
Chip, 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 chip,
Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Chip, 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 and Dale's. There's danger.
Hey.
You know it never. Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Tailspin. With Baloo the Bear, and he flew an airplane, and Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Mm-hmm. Let's get dangerous.
Oh.
Darkwing Duck.
Yes,
when you're in trouble, you call DW.
Oh,
Darkwing
Duck.
I mean, it's taking you back. So research it. I'm sure you can find it on the YouTubes, millennials.
So good.
Do you feel? See, we learned something.
Yeah, right over my head.
George McDuck. He's going to just swim in his money.
Absolutely. Yeah, Scrooge McDuck had a money silo, and he would jump into it and swim around in it, and it was all gold coins.
Was shaped like a dollar sign.
Yeah. Which, let's be honest, in real life, if you jumped into a pile of gold coins, you would crush your skull.
Well, he was the only was the running joke in the thing was that he was the only one that could swim in his money, and everybody else would try, and they'd be like, gunk.
Family Guy actually did the joke. They made a reference that Peter jumped off into the money, and he's like, this is not water, this is solid. He hurt himself. It was great.
Yeah, it was great. Okay, we're going to do one more. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know.
Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on.
The cold never bothered me anyway.
Shout out Cassie.
Well done. Don't forget the Disney lyrics. Well done, everybody.
So good.
She's phenomenal in the show.
Who is this?
Casey Levy.
Patty.
Oh, forget about it.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I feel like Casey Levy has a completely indestructible instrument.
Me too.
That monster video?
I saw that monster video.
So good.
With those boys with their beards and their biceps backing her up. That was a lot of B's. I like to alliterate.
And Patty Murin, too, is so endearing and charming and hysterical and funny.
Yeah, she is.
I loved it.
She's immediately your best friend. You just see her from far away. You're like,
and she's good at playing nasty, too. She was my Sharpay in High School Musical.
She was.
The world
premiere. That's another Disney connection for you. Yeah. That's hilarious and magical. All right, let's start at the very beginning here, friends. I want to know about your early inspirations. I know, Telly, that you're a hometown boy. I know that you grew up here in New York City. I want to know kind of what was the moment that you guys caught the theater bug as children? And did you jump into an enthusiastic life of community theater where you're from? Let's start with you, Telly.
Oh, I grew up in New York City, and I actually found theater by accident in a lot of ways. I had very traditional Chinese parents.
That's right.
I had a tiger mom and I had a tiger dad who wanted me to do very well in school and go to Harvard and become a doctor.
Sure.
And so coming home after school, actually, like, I wasn't allowed to watch like DuckTales or Chippendale unless I was like done with my homework. Right. And after a while, like, they were like, they really didn't like me watching cartoons at all. They'd be like, you cannot watch cartoon, junk cartoon, only watch PBS. Because PBS was educational.
Well, watch the story, Wishbone.
Right.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one, too. There's good stuff on PBS. But so
I was going to say.
For a little while, they were like, you could only watch PBS. Well, at 8 years old, watching PBS
is not so fun.
Right. But I stumbled upon great performances. Mm. And Into the Woods was on. So at 8 years old, the live taping of Into the Woods from the Martin Beck Theater, which is now the Al Hirschfeld Theater, and I didn't know what I was watching. I was watching Bernadette Peters and Joanna Gleason and Chips. I didn't know what that was. I didn't know that was music theater, but I just remember being hooked on it. And it was during one of those fundraising drives for PBS where they'd repeat the thing over and over again. And the next time they repeated it, I grabbed a VHS tape and I taped it.
Yeah.
And I wore out my Into the Woods tape.
Telly, you know that I'm the guy that does that here in New York.
I know.
I'm the PBS guy now.
I see
but
you
it's
on
hilarious.
PBS
I was interviewing Laura Benanti and a bunch of people during a pledge drive back over New Year's this year, and they all said the same thing about that Into the Woods. And I remember that
changed
as well.
My life.
It really was a game changer for so many people. 8 years old watching PBS. How did you get the bug coming from the dynasty?
My brother and I both sang in our church choir in a little farm town called Half Moon Bay, California. And
it's a great name for a town.
Yeah,
the coast is
shaped like a half moon, like a crescent.
How beautiful.
And I wanted to be a pop singer. I just loved, you know, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Celine Dion. So my mom found me a teacher in San Francisco. Her name was Teddy Lightfoot.
And shout out to Teddy.
Teddy's no longer with us.
Sorry, Teddy.
But she fostered all these young kids into loving music, and we were called the Razzle Dazzle Kids, and
we did shows
all over the Bay Area. My brother and I, you know, you can find videos online of us singing as little kids, and I just loved it. And then I started doing community theater. And
what were some of your plum roles, Marielle?
For the community theater,
yeah.
I was in Secret Garden, but they didn't cast me as Mary. They cast me as Aya, the Indian maid. So I had I was the first character to die of cholera, and I had this red scarf, and I did this dance solo.
The cholera dance?
Yep. And then I was in A Christmas Carol. I was one of the Cratchit kids. Mm-hmm. And I sang show tunes for all of my school talent shows. I sang Castle on a Cloud for my first grade talent show. And I did A Whole New World with my best friend, but I was Aladdin and she was Jasmine.
That's magical.
Yeah.
That pulls on my heartstrings. Did you know as a kid that you wanted to make this your life? When did that occur to you?
I loved doing it so much. And when I was in high school, I had an amazing voice teacher at the Westminster Conservatory of Music. Mm-hmm. I went to high school right across the street at Princeton High School. So once a week, I'd go across the street for lessons and her name's Carolyn Haney, and she encouraged me to do my own solo voice recital my junior year of high school and my senior year. She encouraged me to do like a one-hour solo concert.
Wow.
And I did it, and I loved it. And then I went to apply for colleges, and I applied to half of my schools for music and musical theater, and the other half I applied for environmental science.
Oh.
I loved the sciences. I loved AP biology, and I thought I was going to be an environmental activist. I'm actually the green captain right now.
What's the green captain?
The Broadway Green...
Green Alliance.
Green Alliance.
Yes. Oh,
yes.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So you make sure that everybody at the theater is keeping things green?
Yes. Recycle, recycle, recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when I was applying for colleges, I did like this half and half thing, and I was just threw my destiny into the universe. And then I did not get into any science schools, and I only got into the music schools. So it was just decided for me.
When and God speaks, he shouts.
I'm very happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, I think we're all very happy with how it turned out. How about you, Major?
Let's see. Starting, was always singing in church when I was younger. That led to the Texas Boys Choir, so choral singing. And I realized at some point that I needed a different outlet. I loved the music, but I needed to be able to tell a story and not just stand there as well. So I ended up at Casa Mignana, which is a theater that raised me.
Absolutely. You were a Casa kid.
I was a Casa kid. You're correct. And so it was similar to your performing,
the Razzle Dazzlers group.
So we traveled around the Metroplex. We got to perform Disney World. And it's actually what led me to my full circle moment here. I saw, on a trip with Casa Mignana, I saw The Lion King in the New Amsterdam Theater. I can still point to my seat in the ninth row on the aisle.
Wow.
So every single day, whoever's in that chair gets a little extra love. That was the moment that I decided I wanted to do it for a living.
And how old were you at that point?
It was 2001, because we also got to sit in the nosebleeds of the Tony Awards.
Oh, cool.
And so I was... How old was I? 11, 12, maybe?
Oh, wow.
And because I'd already been doing it in local theater and learning from people around me, but that was the day that said, oh, I can do this as my career. This can be it. So that was when I really decided, was then. But I also did, when I came back, I did a lot of local theater. That's what got me here, because I moved here to join the cast of Aladdin.
That's wacky, wild stuff.
Incredibly fortunate. I did a lot of... community theater and learned about, you know, what not to do and how to be professional and things like that. And it's what guides me now. But and Jubilee Theater was a big part of my growth, because that was the first professional theater to hire me as an adult. Well, I say an adult. At 16, they let me lead a show. And
you guys did an adult track.
Pretty much. I was narrating a show called Harlem Blues, and I love it to this day. And that's where I got to grow, and it gave me the platform I needed to handle the Disney brand, if you will.
I want to say something else.
Please,
because
do.
I'm hearing Major and Telly both talk about when they decided that this is what they need to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important, because even though the universe decided for me and I was put into this path of doing theater and music, I did have my own time when I decided, but it was later.
Okay.
And it was after I had been out of college. I went to NYU.
Okay, I was going to ask.
I went to Steinhardt, and I got a music degree in voice.
Wow.
And I moved to LA, and I had started auditioning for film and TV and doing theater. And I was still unsure. I was like, this is fun, but it's, you know, it's so hard.
Yeah.
And maybe I made the wrong choice, and maybe I should do something else. But then something happened where I couldn't actually perform anymore. I was in rehearsals for a new musical called Nightingale at New York Stage and Film. Moises Kaufman was directing it.
Oh, wow.
Uzo Aduba was in it, and Kimiko Glenn, Michael Esper, Michael Cerveris. And I was the female lead, and I was playing Uzo Aduba's daughter, actually.
Naturally.
And it's like a week before our opening performance, and my face got paralyzed.
Oh,
I actually got Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
And so I continued through with that production because there was no understudies, and I just combed my hair over half of my face and kind of talked out of one side of my mouth, and everyone just assumed that I was born that way who came to see the show. And afterwards, I stopped performing for a little bit because I couldn't. But it took about 3 months before my face came back. And during that time, I wasn't sure if it was going to come back. The doctors said that I could, you know, some people don't get better.
Wow, that's scary.
So that was when I realized how much it meant to me to sing and perform. And for the first time in years, I actually missed the opportunity to audition, because I had gotten to this point where I was just over it and like so much rejection and stress, and I just didn't think it was worth it. And then after my face was paralyzed and I couldn't do it anymore, I was like, I started to miss it. And that made me decide, this is actually what I want to do. And my whole career changed after that. Because
you approached it in a different
way. I approached it with this knowledge that I need to do this.
Going back to kind of in the beginning, do you guys remember the first time you saw Aladdin, the animated film?
I remember seeing it in the theater.
For sure.
I remember going to the theater, and I remembered feeling like, you know, the movies that had come before it were sort of more princess movies, right? Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And this was like the boys' movie because there were action sequences like flying in and out of the cave.
I will
and
never
like,
forget that.
You know,
the
end with like, you know, the big fight with Jafar at the end. Like, I was like, oh, this is like a Disney film, but like Indiana Jones. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it felt exciting in that way, like an action film.
Yeah.
And I remembered going with my mom and dad, and my dad, who is not like into, you know, he's not into like romantic comedies or animated films, but like he was totally into those action sequences too. And I was like, this is really cool, you know? So that's my memory of seeing Aladdin.
Your parents are finally like, okay, you can watch cartoons.
Yeah.
But it was Aladdin. Going to be this
it was
awesome.
One of those things, I mean, it was like one of those things where it was like, like we went to the theater. It was like an event. It was like a family thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So like and everybody went. Like, I just remember it was such a big deal when that movie came out.
It was a really big deal.
It was like everybody went to go see it in the movie theater.
I remember watching Aladdin at home.
Okay.
I think it was on a tape.
Sure.
On my living room.
Yeah.
VHS.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first time I saw it, but I do remember the third time we had to buy the VHS. For wearing out the first two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that and Lion King. That's what happened.
So how does that translate when you are now playing these roles that you saw, that you wore out the VHS for, and that it was such an event in your life? Yeah. I mean, it's got to be heady stuff.
Yeah. I try not to think about it.
Yeah?
Because, you know, I went to Women's Day at the St. James Theater this past week.
Great.
And they were talking about Harry Potter, and the producer of Harry Potter was talking about how there's all these, you know, so much pressure because the public is like wanting it to be something specific, and you can put that on yourself and say, I need to live up to all this pressure. But if you do, it stifles creativity. So, and I heard her say that, and I thought, that is so true. Mm-hmm. Because if I think about what everyone is expecting from Jasmine and what they want to see, then I'm not able to really tap into my own experience of what she's going through.
I think that's wonderful. And that was a question I was going to ask all of you, actually,
yes.
Is because there is such a what responsibility do you feel to the characters and to giving audience members who have grown up with these images and ideals in their head? How do you balance that with making it your own as an actor and being true?
There are specific choices I make that pay homage to not only the film, but directly to Robin Williams, because he changed, not only did he change my
world,
life, but he changed the way that Disney made and cast their movies moving forward. They started to put people like him in it, celebrities, because of the impact he had. So for me, you're right. You can't, once the show starts, that's not something to think about, because I can only think about the genie's thoughts, and the genie didn't know Robin. The genie is just himself.
Right.
So I make sure that I pay homage specifically to him. But other than that, you know, you just try to tell the story.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And some of that is out of our hands, too, as the
Correct.
Actors, right? Like, I trust our incredible team that's kind of behind the whole thing. You know, Casey and Tom and everybody over there who, like, they put in all of that time and all of those years figuring out how to make that 92 film into a stage musical and make it to make it its own thing. Do you know what I mean? That it does pay homage, like Major said, to the original, but also is its own entity, its own like genre of entertainment.
If you were from planet Mars and happened to walk in off the street and went to see Aladdin and never seen the film, that it would still be a viable
product. That it still holds
its
own as a story and as an evening of theater. And so, so for me, it's just finding my place in an evening of theater, that's kind of what I can only focus on.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't control the stuff that the people that bring in, their emotional memories and their emotional baggage of what Aladdin is for them from the animated film or their memories of it. I have no kind of control over that,
sure.
Right? But what we do have control is how we tell the story and how we bring ourselves to the story for the next 2.5 hours.
Right.
So to that end, how does that then factor into dealing with replacing another actor in a role that you've probably seen them do? How do you find a way to fit into the production that's there and make sure that you're being true to yourself and your version of the character?
I would say I'm a little more fortunate than most, because we are required to tailor the genie to us.
yeah.
to the actor that is doing
it. The creative team tells you that? We're like, we yes. want you to make this yours.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there are choices that, well, and it's because it's so personal. We break the fourth wall so often that if it's not as genuine as possible, then it's just not funny and it doesn't really work. You know, I can't tell jokes, the same jokes that James told, because our comedy comes out of us in a different way.
For sure.
I agree. We have to make it.
I think that actually applies to all of us who are replacing in our shows too. It's that, you know, I was very much encouraged. I saw Adam many times in the show. I saw the show, I think, like 3 or 4 times before I ever joined the company with Adam in it. Mm-hmm. And I remembered, you know, when we first got into rehearsals, all of our resident directors are like, make it, you know, here's the blueprint of what the show is.
Right.
And certainly you have to stand on 12 at this point and you have to exit stage right at this point because otherwise a building is going to hit you. But, right, right. You know what I mean? But otherwise,
here
like,
comes it's the sword.
You. Otherwise, it's you. Like, you and Adam are totally different people. So you have to bring your sense of truth, moment to moment truth to it, or the audience isn't going to go along with it.
For sure. Know? And they'll smell it. You know, dogs smell fear. I'm so impressed with the creative team here.
They are very, they've been wonderful about that.
Such wonderful freedom with it. And it reads is so fresh. And I had seen this show before. So congratulations to all of you.
Thanks.
Also, I want to talk about going back to the impact on kids. And we talk about Stage Door. What have you experienced as these characters these kids love so much come to life? What are the best reactions you've gotten?
it is a different experience when they at the Stage Door. I mean, every other show I've done, they want to meet Telly. They want to meet the actor who played a certain role, right? But I feel like there is such a connection to Aladdin or to Jasmine or to the genie that the minute we walk out the door, it's we're not the actor. We are still the people. Even though I'm in my street clothes, I'm like, you know, I have my book bag on.
I often disappoint people when I don't come out with glitter on my head.
They want you to take it home, but let's be honest, glitter gets everywhere,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't want to take it home.
No.
Okay. It's a lot.
My favorite is meeting all the little girls dressed up as Jasmine.
Does that happen?
I love it. Yes.
I make sure to greet them as Your Highness whenever they're dressed.
Of course you
so
do.
So they know that they're in charge.
It's the best.
It's beautiful.
On a more serious note, one of the things that strikes me about the show that's really wonderful is the diversity in the cast. It's beautiful to see, and it's wonderful. And why is it important, and how does it affect you to be involved in such an inclusive production?
I mean, I was just listening to Major talk about his Lion King experience and sitting in that New Amsterdam theater, and I think it's no accident then, as Major sitting there watching a cast of African-American and African actors mm-hmm. on stage, you're like, I look like that. Those people look like me. Into the Woods might have been something that made me like interested in theater, but it really wasn't until I saw Miss Saigon and I saw a sea full of Asians on stage that I went, oh, like they're actually doing that. Like, can I do that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why I think that representation, just that the visibility of that is so powerful. I had the same experience with Rent. You know, I saw Rent and I was like, oh, there's everything.
Yeah.
Like, here's a show where everything under the sun is included. Mm-hmm. Every person under the sun, every color, every shade.
Yeah.
And I think at Aladdin, we accomplished that as well. These characters are so iconic. Why can't Aladdin be Chinese American tonight? You know what I mean? Like, it's total. And maybe there's a Chinese American kid in the audience that's like, maybe one day I can do that. I can be on Broadway too. So I think that visibility is so important. For the next generation.
I think that's super powerful.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they want the stage to be full of actors that look like you are just, you know, the same colors that you see just walking around Times Square?
Yeah.
Like just walking out in the city, you want the same sea of colors to be put on the stage in Agrabah. It's this fictional city, so why can't it look exactly like the world you see?
I think as Wicked alums too, for us, like that happened in Wicked all the time. Like, why can't Bach be Asian? Why can't Fierro be African American? Like they Nessa was there. You know, why can't Nessa be Asian? Like, do you know what I mean? I think with fictional places like Oz or Agrabah, yes, why not?
It's easier to do. And it should be spread out throughout even places that exist in real space and time.
Yes. Right.
Diversity is the best thing that's happened to life itself.
Preach! And the theater community has embraced that so strongly, certainly in the last few years in a really, really special
and also,
amazing way.
And also, it's theater. Like, I feel like the reason I felt like I got hooked by theater really was because you do high school musicals, you do, like, your first show that you're in and you find your tribe. that you and you're like, oh, here's this thing where it's inclusive. Like, it is important to be like, theater can't exist unless everybody has a job and there's a job for everyone, whether you're sweeping the stage or painting the set or you're the star of the show. Yeah. Like, there's something for everybody to do. It never really negates anybody. In fact, the more the merrier with theater. So I feel like it goes hand in hand, the diversity of theater and the inclusiveness of theater.
Yeah, going to the High School Musical, it just kind of reminds me of, you know, lunchtime when all the drama nerds head right back to the drama room.
Right.
You
know, like that's
to eat lunch to there because that's the sanctuary and that's where everybody is included.
Yeah.
Everybody is welcome. Okay, take me to this a little bit because I love them and they're not so fun sometimes when you're involved in them, but stage mishaps are one of my favorite things on the planet.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a good, oh my gosh, whoops. Can you do? Dare you tell us any?
Who wants to go first?
I was
we
in.
All have some.
Well, when I was
I'm not asking for spoilers. I don't want to spoil any magic.
But. When I was in Wicked on Broadway playing Nessa,
work.
There was a night when my microphone stopped working, and I'm stuck in a wheelchair. Like I can't go get a new microphone. So
this is already good.
Not till she cast that spell.
Yeah. So I'm in the wheelchair, and this is the big scene in the beginning of Act Two.
Yeah.
It's like the only scene I have in Act Two.
That's
all I have.
Yeah.
Act Two.
My shoes. What are you doing to my shoes?
Exactly. Uh-huh. My microphone is broken. It's not working. So Elphaba is, I think it was Rachel Tucker at the time. She, you know, we tried to do the scene as close together as we could, putting our foreheads together. And then Bach has to, he runs in from off stage. So he runs in with a mic pack for me and a ear thing and a wire. And he throws it in my chair. And so I get it in right next to me. I'm still saying my lines and doing everything. I'm hooking the ear thing around my ear, but I don't have any pockets, so I don't have anywhere to put the actual mic pack.
And you've got to stand up in a minute.
And I have to stand up in a
minute.
Sorry
to spoil that, kids, if you haven't seen
Wicked. What I do is I have the ear thing on my ear, and this wire is just dangling, and I take the mic pack and I stuff it up my sleeve because I have long sleeves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do the whole scene with this, you know, mic pack in my sleeve, and I do the whole stepping up and all the choreo and the waving around and the screaming, and I just have to like keep my arm really close to me like I'm in a sling, but it totally worked.
Yeah.
And Robin DeJesus, who was Bach, was my hero.
I love him.
It was actually
Ariel Jacobs, musical theater MacGyver. Major?
Yes, I have.
The answer is yes.
I have some. There are a lot of lyrics in Aladdin for the genie.
There are so many lyrics.
Sometimes you go into what we call the white room, and
it's a scary place to be.
And the lyrics just leave you. And I know how many times I've sung these songs, especially Friend Like Me. I've been singing it since I was a child. But Prince Ali, it was this day, it was Prince Ali. And at the very beginning of the song, I can't even think of the lyrics now, to be honest with you. But make way. Bang the drums, here he comes, something like that. But it did not.
It'll come to you later.
It'll come. But the words were not there. And the worst part is that they didn't come back for two or three shows. Even though I looked, I opened my script.
I
said, you know this. When we get back out there, it happened again. And so there was nothing for me to say. So it was just a bit of scatting. A bit of a genie scat. Now we do that once, but
what would that sound like?
Oh, be do ba 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 da.
Make way.
Yeah.
As long as you're selling it.
It goes with the style of the genie though.
Thank goodness.
Of course.
Absolutely. You're in a zoot suit.
Yeah.
And another moment, because Friend Like Me is a full body workout, you know, I have sweat out the microphone before.
Take that, P90X.
Right. I sweat out the microphone. So then it's done. Both microphones. I wear two because there's a backup. I sweat that one out too. And Josh De La Cruz was on one day as Aladdin. He's a lovely guy. But he could tell, and tell he's done this for me before as well. But at the end, when we're speaking to each other, we get a little
closer and closer.
To try to catch them up.
Starting to feel a little romantic.
Just a bit. And so when he's about to free me, he says, I'm free. And so then we're practically leaning our heads together just so that they can hear what I'm saying. It's very intimate. And but that happens not too often, but it just happened a couple times.
And you guys have a system now of like, okay, he's coming in.
I put my hand on his shoulder so he knows, and then he just like,
we're going to be snuggling for this.
It works.
Here comes the cuddle puddle.
Well, an Aladdin mishap that's definitely happened for me is, and I've sung this song a bazillion times now, and it's a song that I've sung since I was 12, but I went up on the lyrics in a whole new world. And I was like, oh, great. It's I walk off stage and I go, this is the Oscar winning. This is like the song. Everybody is waiting for this song. But not only did I go up on the lyrics, I took, at the time, Courtney Reed, who was playing Jasmine, I took her down with me. So for a little while, we just sang, I went, a whole new world. The lyric is supposed to be, with new horizons to pursue. Did not sing. I went, a whole new world. And I took her down.
She went with
every
you?
Turn of surprise. She did not. Nope, that didn't happen.
Did she sing anything?
She sang vowels too. So for a good, like four bars. And it's one of those songs where you go, I can't. There's nowhere to hide because the audience is singing with you.
I feel like if you did that in Kasim, Babcock, and Omar, that
you could hide it.
But in that one,
everybody knows the words. And so I walk off, and she was so mad at me. She was like, Telly, you took me down. You took me down with you. And I said, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
I love that stuff. I promise I will never do that.
You
can't, you can't control the white room.
But I gotta say, but with me, I will knock on wood. If I goof once, I usually never goof at that same place again. Like, I might white room somewhere else on you.
Sure.
But if I goof it once, usually I don't go back to goofing it again. Knock on everything. Now that I've said I don't watch.
Here's hoping. One of the things we like to do here at the Broadway cast is interact with the fans. We have listeners from all over the world in like 99, 100 countries. And we've asked our fans to send in questions specifically for you, stars of Aladdin. So we're going to go to the social media like the kids do. The first question comes to us from Evie the Love Attic. EVYTHELOVATIC. Follower. Now. Okay. She says, what is the one joke in the show that will never get old? I have a couple favorites. Can I tell mine first? I laughed so hard at the, like, we'll bring them to their knees. Can't we just cut their calves off? I thought that was so dark and hilarious. And nobody else laughed in the theater but me. And the guy behind me went,
What's a good one? A lot of them are DDRs, are Don Del Rivera's.
Right,
I think he is a comic clown genius.
Genius.
He really is.
I feel an evil laugh coming on. That makes us. We actually have to enter laughing. Actually,
yes.
That's in the direction that we have the very next scene.
Yeah.
And they do the evil laugh, and then Don Del, but don't go overboard. You know, is what Jafar says, and Don Del always goes overboard as he. Uh-huh. And it's hysterical. And actually, it's a genuine laugh.
It's
when
genuine.
We are
laughing
because we are laughing at Don Darrell. Like Major and Telly are laughing at Don Darrell.
Every time. It's hilarious. Our next question comes to us from Hayden _ Pan Juan. And they want to know, he or she wants to know, what are your go-to warm-up songs before a show? That's a good one.
Well, I mean, I know I can always hear Telly singing Whitney.
Whitney Houston is always good.
Sure.
Like a vocal icon of mine.
Yeah. You're warm if you've gotten through a Whitney Houston song. No one's getting through that cold.
I also like a 90s jam.
Yes.
Sometimes. Mm. Like a Mary J. Blige.
Let's get it.
Also, Babyface Jodeci moment.
Yes.
Oh. I also enjoy that sometimes.
Things that get the larynx move.
Yeah.
The larynx move.
A Boys to Men.
Yes, Boys to Men is good.
You know,
I'll do CeeLo sometimes to open up the top of the register. Or Guilty Pleasures, Will Smith. I know lots of Will Smith lyrics. So I will rap a Will Smith song to get ready to speak quickly as the genie every now and again.
That makes good sense.
Men in Black.
Sarah Bareilles is my queen. Okay. I love her.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Sarah Bareilles?
Personally, no. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll fix that.
Let's work on that.
I think so. If we all work together. All right, next question. It's Hot Darn It 7. Hot Darn It 7. What's the show that the three of you would love to do together outside of Aladdin? That's a great question, Hot Darn It 7.
Can we each pick our own?
You bet you can.
Easy. Mine is Little Shop. We should do Little Shop.
Can we do Little Shop?
Absolutely.
I've given you sunlight.
We're going to start a GoFundMe campaign. Just find us at the Broadway cast, and we'll start taking your donations to produce
that
this.
That actually sounds really fun.
I think I'll buy a ticket.
I'll buy that.
I'd love to do Rent together. That would be the show I'd love to do. Wait, I've done Rent.
Have you done Rent?
I have. I did.
We've all done Rent.
So
that's one of my favorite shows, and I never tire of doing it. And so I played your
boyfriend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I did.
It'd be fun to do that.
Great. So we've got two productions we have to do. You guys are going to become like a traveling theater company.
I also want to do Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yeah.
You could be Toby.
Yeah.
And you could be the judge.
I did that too.
You've done it already.
It keeps turning off.
Sweeney. I want to see you play Sweeney.
Okay. I would like to play
Sweeney. Yeah, you could play Sweeney.
I have to work on my whistling, but Sweeney's a dream role of mine, yes.
Yeah?
I want to play Miss Lovett.
That's a good one.
Katie Ann Photography wants to know, what's your go-to Starbucks order?
Decaf, sugar-free almond milk, caramel macchiato.
That is so detailed. Delicious.
I'm an Americano person, and actually, if it's Starbucks, I like that blonde Americano.
The new blonde Americano.
Yeah, the new,
because
it's a little lighter and a little less
bitter.
What
is a blonde?
But it's just they don't roast. I don't think they roast it as
it's
as
a lighter.
Heavily. Yeah,
lighter.
It's a lighter roast.
It's a little sweeter.
It's got a citrus thing going on, but, citrus notes.
But I am not a decaf ever anything. I'm like a give me more caffeine, more.
Pump it
caffeine.
Into my bloodstream.
I'm an almond milk mocha guy.
Mm. Oh, delicious.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah.
Let's see. Poppy.g25 wants to know, how and when did you find out you got your roles?
I found out I got Australia.
Yeah.
And then my brother and I wanted to keep it a secret from my parents until we could tell them in person. So we planned this whole elaborate
it was so cute
video that is on YouTube that you can find, where we tricked my parents into thinking that we were showing them a video of Adam doing a press song with the new Australian Jasmine. But it was me.
It was you.
So when the camera panned to her, it was me. So we had hidden cameras set up around the room to catch their reactions to it. My mom started crying. It was really sweet.
That is very sweet.
I kind of have a crazy story, because I actually, when they originally called me in to
I feel like you knew for a while
for Aladdin, I knew for a little while that they were very interested in having me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't official. So what happened was they were auditioning for the national tour of Aladdin. And
that's right.
And they said, well, and at the time they said I was already going to be doing In Transit on Broadway.
Right.
I had said yes to In Transit. I was already announced to be in the company. And then what happened was they said, well, you know, the Disney folks and Tom Schumacher and Casey Nicola, they would really love to see you as Aladdin. It's so hard to get the two of them in a room together because they're both so busy. But while they're auditioning for the tour, we know that you have a job, but come in anyway so they can see you. And so in my brain, I'm like, oh, it's a job like years down the line. And, you know, having done Wicked before, the same thing happened with Wicked with me. I auditioned for the first national tour. I didn't get it. Randomly, I got a phone call four or five months later that was like, hey, by the way, remember that audition for the national tour? Now they actually are opening a Chicago company, and would you like to play Bach? Wow. So I was like, well, maybe there's, you know, as right. with long-running shows, they keep a long list of people.
That, you never that, really think that they're remembering what's on that list, and they are.
But they actually are.
Yeah.
So I went in knowing, okay, well, it was kind of a low-stakes audition because I said, I'm about to, 2 weeks later, I was going to start rehearsals for In Transit, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go in and do my best and have a lot of fun and be Aladdin for 5 minutes. At my audition was Courtney Reed, who mm-hmm. was playing Jasmine at the time. And I thought in my brain, I said, that's so nice that Courtney would just come in and spend the afternoon reading with Aladdin's. Again, it was auditions for the national tour. Well, the part they didn't really tell me was Adam, Ariel's brother, was going to be leading the tour. And they were actually looking for somebody to take over New York. So I got the phone call like 2 weeks before I was supposed to start rehearsals for In Transit, saying, hey, they're actually very interested in you being Aladdin when Adam leaves. We totally understand that you have another commitment. So within transit and so we'll figure it out. And so that's exactly what happened. Which was kind of amazing the way that the universe worked out. I got to do In Transit. I got to do that run from the beginning to the end. And then when In Transit was over, they were like, okay, whenever you're ready, come into Aladdin.
They don't even tell me we'll work it out when I go through the drive through at Burger King. So
it was very,
that is
amazing. It was awesome. It kind of worked out really well for everybody. You know, I felt like Adam got to go on off and lead the tour. There were two members of the ensemble in our company, Joshua De La Cruz and Jacob Dickey, who went off and got to do, I think it was something like 8 to 10 weeks each of the role, so that they got an opportunity to like own the role. And then I learned the show by watching those two guys who had been part of the company for so long. And mm-hmm. and so it was kind of great. Like everybody kind of got to have an Aladdin moment. And I still got to have that wonderful experience at In Transit too. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I could add to that.
Please do.
I told the universe that I wanted to do 8 shows a week. And so I was the genie standby. I stood by for the genie, Sultan, and Babcock for the first year. And I was the standby for less than 12 months. And they said, okay, we're going to start auditioning for the tour. And I said, I would like to be considered for the tour. Happy to audition again, even though
this tour ruse of theirs.
Hey, well, you know, you just ask and you see what happens. And then they said, okay. we'll consider you for the tour. No problem. And then a month later, they called me back and they said, so James is leaving. Would you still like to go on tour? And I said, let me think about it. No, I'm good. And so they said, yeah, if you'd like, we would like you to step on up. And I said, well, amazing.
Hold on. Let me check my date book.
Well, I said, hold on. Let me check my pulse.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do a lot of that with this show, right? From phone calls down. Yeah.
That's the lesson, right? It's you just never know.
You don't.
You never know unless you kind of ask the universe for something. Hey, I really like this, and actually to voice it out loud and say that, and then just to always put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
You know, because you never kind of know when that phone call is going
to
come.
And to believe that you can have it. And right. I think
absolutely.
That a lot of actors don't carry that mantle as they should, maybe. This is the last question from, this is from B. Benjamin Miller. And he says, if you could play any other character in the show, who would it be?
Well, in that moment when we're backstage and, you know, and Jonathan Freeman and Don Darrell Rivera are doing that scene in one where, you know, and we're about to enter, we sometimes joke and we say, what if we switched parts with those guys?
For me, it's not a joke. It's real life.
Like,
it's
what
real
if life. We switch? Like, what if I got to play Jafar one night?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm
lucky to be playing the genie, but I grew up always wanting to be a Disney villain.
So hopefully
one day they'll let me give it a shot.
The sidekicks in our show have so much fun.
Oh, for sure.
The sidekicks in our show have so much fun that sometimes I'd really like to be a sidekick.
I would want to be Aladdin. I would want to do one jump and sing Proud of Your Boy, Proud of Your Girl. I would love that.
I want you to sing Proud of Your Boy. Yeah. When you guys are not doing we've talked about the 8 shows a week and it's heavy lifting for all of you. I mean, these are enormous roles and there's a lot of stage time. When you're not in the theater as human being people, what do you do? What's your favorite thing to do when you're not on stage?
100% honest.
Please.
Be a vegetable.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And just be, because I think with this show, as physical as it is for all the Aladdins and as kind of athletic as it is, I've had to teach myself to just sit on the couch and do nothing and watch RuPaul's Drag Race or something. Do you mean like, just to like be okay with that? Sometimes I think the A-plus student in me feels guilty for just sitting there and watching television sometimes, but I'm like, oh, right, my body actually needs to, my knees and my ankles
rest.
And my joints and all of that, because it is such a physical show and it is 8 times a week that you have to also, you know, in your Google calendar go rest.
Do
that's
nothing.
A good idea.
Sit
I
your
need
butt
to
on
do
the,
that.
Sit your butt on the couch. Do you know what I mean? So it's
And don't move. Yeah.
And take care of yourself, you know. So mm-hmm. I think
self-care's got to be
sometimes
a huge part
it's
of
just
it.
Being a vegetable and catching up on Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah. Ariel?
I like to sleep. I like to sleep and I like to watch Netflix. And with my fiance, I just got engaged.
You just got engaged.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's an actor too.
Adorable. I want to marry him.
Yeah, he's very sweet. Just like hanging out at home and we eat a lot of soup. So,
okay. When she's not starring as Princess Jasmine on Broadway, Ariel Jacobs enjoys soup.
We get these soups and smoothies from this thing called Splendid Spoon, where they send you pre-made vegetarian soups, and so we kind of just love to heat those up and watch our favorite TV shows.
Are you vegetarian?
He is, and I am when I'm home, but most I don't.
Eating pork chops in his face.
No.
If you guys could offer, a lot of our viewers and our listeners are theater artists, and they work in the theater and wherever they're from, and they're actors. And if you could give, as the fancy Broadway stars that you are, give any advice to another actor, what would you give?
I just gave this advice to a bunch of students, and I think it's something that I'm going to echo from what I said before, is that oftentimes, you know, for every job that we do get, you know, there's about 100 that we did not get. Mm-hmm. And that means that's about 100 audition rooms that we're in. And auditioning is our job. And getting, you know, having no said to our face is part of the job. So since it's part of the job, just choose to enjoy the time that you're in that room. And choose to, you know, even if you go, hey, I might not get this Aladdin gig, but for 5 minutes, I'm going to have the most fun and be Aladdin. I might never get called back for this. This might never happen. I might never do this on a Broadway stage. But for 5 minutes, if I get to do this in front of Casey Nicholaw or Tom Schumacher or whoever or Alan Menken, I'm going to be Aladdin. I'm going to be the best Aladdin I can be for those folks. Yeah. And I think that's always been that's helped me along the way. Because that sometimes when you do get that phone call, that's like, hey, you actually did really well, and they'd like to see you again. You're like, really? You're like, oh my gosh, I was just having fun. Like, yeah. I was just having the best 5 minutes I possibly could in the room, you know?
Oh, and it should be fun. Didn't we all start doing this because it was fun?
I know. Yeah. Sometimes we forget when it's our job and, you know, and it's like, oh, how are we going to pay the rent this month? And, you know what I mean? Sometimes we forget that, but having fun is necessary in the job.
Rent.
Following up on that, I think that in order to go in there and say, I'm going to be Aladdin for 5 minutes, you have to really believe that you can portray any character, and you have to really kind of accept yourself. You have to say, I don't know what they want, but this is how I would do it. If you start trying to play to what you think that they want, and you start putting yourself in a box, being like, oh no, that's not me, that's not my character, then you're just doing a disservice to yourself and to them. So I think the most important thing is to kind of embrace however you would do the character and just give them that 500% without any apology.
Yeah. Major?
I would say to try and let go of how you think it should happen. Mm-hmm. I got here in a very special way, and I was determined to work on my craft and determined to work on being better at what an actor's job is, taking direction well, you know, and doing the research that it takes, that the actor has to do before he's even, you know, at rehearsal and things like that. I would say you let go of how it's supposed to happen and just work on being ready. Mm. And I think that can help you with the things that they just said, with not worrying about what they might want and not worrying about how, like, if you're worrying about how you're going to pay your rent in your audition, then you're not doing your audition.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what I would say is it's harder even today and harder as an actor to live in the moment, but that is what we audition to get to do.
And also to figure out why you're doing this, because it's hard to stay in the game if you don't have a bigger purpose as to why you're doing this. If you're like, I want to be an actor because it's fun, or I want to, you know, I want people to know me, or I want to show those people that I'm somebody.
Yeah.
If it's all of that, you're not actually, you don't have a larger reason behind going through all of the rejection and all of the stress. But if you're doing it for, like for me, I think that the theater creates a space for the audience to heal whatever's going on in their lives, or the story is going to make them brave to go do something they feel is scary, or it's going to make them want to reconnect with loved ones in their lives in a different way. And I think we provide that for them. So that's my reason.
That's the gift you carry as an actor. Very wise words. Thank you very much. That's the end of our program. I don't want to say goodbye to you guys. I want to be your best friend and move into your apartments and always be there. But let's have a hand for Telly Leon, Ariel Jacobs, and Major Attaway. Thank you guys for being here. Congratulations on 4 years of Aladdin. Continued success. The show is wonderful. If you get a chance to see Aladdin when you're in New York City, if you can get your hand on a ticket, that is, go see them at the New Amsterdam Theater. It's a heck of a time. I'm your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron. This is the Broadway Cast, and I'm saying have a great show.